Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking this month at the names of God, and we're going to look at this name today, which is found in Genesis chapter 22, a name used by Abraham for God, Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever heard of that name before, Jehovah Jireh? What does that mean, and what does that mean for us? The word Jehovah, of course, is the same as Yahweh. It just depends which vowels you use, which basically means I am. And Jireh is a word in Hebrew, a verb, means to see or to provide. And so Jehovah Jireh means I am will provide. I am provides. Jehovah provides. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know your God as Jehovah Jireh? That he is your provider. Well, let's take a look today at that. Because if you trust in God to provide for you in all things in Jesus Christ, that is the end of all worries. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, worry, actually, the definition of it is not trusting God to provide for you. If you trust in God to provide for you, there will be no more fears, no more worries, no more anxieties, because, you know, Jehovah Jireh will provide for you in all things. And this is what God's after with us, is to trust in him to provide. If you don't trust in God to provide and you say, I myself am my sole provider, or another person is a sole provider, you'll be forever full of worry because you'll never know if you'll have enough because you or they may or may not be able to deliver what you need. But if God is your provider, no more worries for us because he is able and willing to provide for us in everything in Jesus Christ. So let's take a look today at this name, Jehovah Jireh, in the Bible. Say that with me. Jehovah Jireh, I am, will provide, God will provide. And let's see what we can learn about that today in Christ. Can we actually trust God to provide for us everything we need in Jesus? Well, as we start to think about that, consider this. God provides for all of his creatures, all of his world, even all of the human beings, even those who don't know him. For we read here in Acts chapter 17, Paul says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. So he gives life and breath and everything, even to wicked people. How much more for his own people? That's, you know, Jesus says God sends his rain and his sun upon the righteous and upon the wicked. So if God even provides for people that scoff at him and shake their fist, how much more for you who are his own? Now, the following are promises for Christians, not for non-Christians. So if you're not a Christian, you guys are, if you're listening on the radio, repent and believe in Christ, and then these promises will be yours. But these following promises are for you, and consider this with respect to provision. First of all, can you trust in God to provide for all of your basic necessities in life? Your food, clothing, and bills, and general stuff. Well, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you shall eat or drink, or your body what you shall put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They're not running around like chickens with their heads cut off, like the rest of the world, running after goods and riches to provide for themselves. He says, no. He says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they? You know, look at the Blue Jays. Are they worried? Did you see an anxious Blue Jay this morning? Or a crazy chickadee? Of course, those are more northerly birds. But they're not worried. God provides for them. And if he takes care of little creatures like that who are not as valuable as you, is he going to forget you? God will provide for you all your basic needs. That's a promise to you in Jesus, because he is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. How about your life, your course in life, your direction in life, your next step? Oh no, what's going to happen? Don't worry about that, God says. This is a promise for Christians, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Over here, turn into the Bible. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's a promise. The provider provides your course through life. He charts it for you. Isn't that great? I mean, we all wonder, oh no, what should I do? What should I do? Don't worry about it. Put your trust in him, acknowledge him, and he's going to open up the way before you. He is the provider. How about your welfare? How great things are going to go for you. Can you trust in him to do good for you and provide you with welfare in your life? I'm going to open up the Bible again to a promise that is for Christians. Genesis 29:11. We read this. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God plans welfare for you. Do you ever wonder, oh no, I wonder if God means evil towards me and not good? Well, if you're a Christian, know this. God works everything together for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So put away all your doubts as to whether God actually means good towards you or not. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider, your provider. He provides for your welfare, not only for the basic necessities of life, but as you've all experienced, additional joys and blessings and riches of every kind and stripe he gives to you because, well, he's good and he loves you. How about this one, though? Does that mean that you're not going to have any troubles in your life or pain? No. Jesus, our God, our Lord, says this. In the world, you have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. Paul says it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. Many afflictions, many pains. That's okay. Job's friend said, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But we don't have to have any worry when we face troubles and get into difficult situations. Why? Because we know God will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So God provides for you in trouble. He says in the Bible, I will be with you in trouble. Psalm 91. I'll protect you and rescue you and honor you, etc. He's our help. He is our God. He's Jehovah Jireh. Even if the devil attacks you, consider this, and you feel the hot, burning heat of a temptation. Will God provide for you? Do you need to be afraid? Do you need to worry? Oh no, how to get out of this? Well, no. 1 Corinthians 10, God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond your strength. Watch this. But with the temptation will, who knows it?
Provide.
Say the word provide. Provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Do you see how he is able to provide for you and does in everything in life? So if you've woken up today and had some worries and anxieties and fears about, oh no, this or that, that is just not trusting in Jehovah Jireh. He says to you today, know me. My name is Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider in all things. Forget fears and worries. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. He is Jehovah Jireh. So think about this. So far, we can trust in God in everything in life, right? We've got food, clothing, God said, all your basic necessities, welfare, extra blessings even, God blesses you with, on top of your necessities. He blesses you for your welfare. He blesses you in the troubles of life. So we can trust in him in everything in life. Oh, now here's the hardest of them all, though. Can we trust him even in death to provide a way? Well, you know the answer to that, but you know what? The closer we get to death, the harder it is sometimes in really laying hold of that one. My dad and mom, you know, up this last week, Beth had to fly up in an emergency visit again to help them up there in Boston. And, you know, dad's going through a tough, really tough time. Heart not doing so great, a lot of difficulties. He's ready to go home. The time of his departure draws near. Of course, my mom also is in her 80s. The time of all of our departures draws near. Amen? Our lives are just mists that come for a little while and vanish, says the Bible. You know, what am I going to do when I face my parents' death? What am I going to do when I face Beth's death if I should live longer than she? What am I going to do about Naomi's death when she faces it? Or Faith's death? Or my own death? You know, I'm going to have to face this one day. Will God provide for me a way? Do I need to worry? Well, let's take a look for the rest of this message at one more passage of Scripture and we'll work our way through it. This is the one time in the entirety of Scripture when the word Jehovah Jireh appears. God the provider, it's used by Abraham when Abraham himself is facing death, the death of his own son. And if you will, also his own death, because his life was bound up in the life of his son. So far in Abraham's life, at the age of 75, remember, he got a promise from God of life. Remember that? You shall have a son. There shall be a promise of a birth, a miracle birth. Isaac shall be born to you. He had to wait 25 years, but he trusted in God and grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He believed in hope against hope that God would provide for him a son. God had promised him a life. So Abraham had trusted God amazingly for life. But now God wanted to test Abraham. Will Abraham also trust me in the face of death to provide a way even there? Well, God put him to a severe test. Let's open up to Genesis 22. We'll spend the rest of our message on this one. So we read, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Test? Amen. Big test? You tell me yes or no. Huge. Which would you rather have, your own death or your child's death? Your own death, right? The worst thing of all is to see your child die. And here, even at his own hand, God says, you, Abraham, must offer him to me as an offering. Wow, that's a sacrifice. Take your own son's life. Let's see how much you love me, Abraham. Tough test. God wanted to see, Abraham's trusted me so far in everything for life. Will he trust me even in death? Well, how did Abraham do in this? Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So how did Abraham do? Did he pass or fail? That's a pass. That's super pass. In fact, you know, the closer these things get, the worse they seem when you approach death. It's easy to trust in God when it's way over there for death, but as it's drawing near and the monster gets you in the face, the death is this close, all the more scary. Abraham, though, as he goes, doesn't slow his speed. He's in full throttle ahead, trusting in God, even in the face of death. Notice, by the way, he was in Beersheba. He's heading to a place in the mountains that God told him to go to. That place was about 45 or 50 miles away. He arrives on the third day. So how fast was Abraham traveling? This is a little math question for you math majors. At least about 20 miles a day, on foot, with a donkey, that is. That's pretty fast. And early in the morning, he didn't delay. All speed, he went to trust in God, even in the face of death. So he's doing pretty well so far, amen, on this journey. But now death is fast approaching. You know, it's easy to trust in God about death when you're 20 or 30. But as you're getting to, you got months to live or a year to live or something like that. Oh, what now? Well, will Abraham trust God as he gets closer to it? We read that Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both of them went on together. So at this point, he is at the very foot of the mountain. Did Abraham sit there and dilly-dally, question, wonder, ask a few other things of God? No, he went forward straight into the heat of the furnace, straight up the mountain towards death, trusting God to provide. And think about how hard this was. The very next line we hear, Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" How would you feel if you were Abraham in this situation? Wouldn't that be just like a dagger in your heart? You know what you're about to do. Your son is innocent, doesn't know what's going on. And yet here, this is his son, his only son, whom he loves, asking this innocent question. Abraham has to muster his strength for these words. He says to him, "God will provide himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son." Oh, wow. Do you know that that's the very first time, mark it well, in the entirety of Scripture where the word provide comes up. The word in the Greek, in the Hebrew again, is Jireh. Think about that. The very first time in the whole of Scripture provide occurs is with this line, "God will provide for himself a lamb." Is that prophetic or what? Wow. So, no loss of time still. Up the mountain they go. He didn't know. Abraham didn't know what God was planning. Abraham only planned to slay his son in accord with God's word. God will provide. He's trusting in death. So let's look at the rest of this story then. This is, so they both of them went on together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. What an amazing story. What's God teaching you and me by the story? Well, you and I can trust God for the things of life. We've already talked about that. Can we trust in God to provide for us also in death, which we all must face one day soon? Well, Abraham believed in God for life. Will Abraham trust in me for death? The answer was yes. How did Abraham do it, though? And how can we face death and not be afraid and still go forward, trembling? Well, because Abraham trusted in God's word. This is what he was laying hold of. We read in Genesis 12, God had promised to Abraham already, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. And then he says, to your descendant, I will give this land. Who is that descendant? Isaac, the promised son. And through him, there shall be many nations and as the stars of heaven for multitude. How can that be, would think Abraham, if I kill him? How am I going to get stars as many for multitude for descendants through Isaac? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the way through death. I don't know how this is going to happen. But God is faithful to keep his word. He will not fail to keep his promise. I've already trusted him for 25 years for a miracle birth, and God came through for that. I don't know how God's going to pull this off with respect to death, but somehow he will, because he's always faithful to keep his word. Amen. Amen. So Abraham said, I don't know, but God will do it. Because he is God and he can do these things. How do I know that this is the right interpretation of that verse? Well, let's take a look. Hebrews 11 speaks of this very thing. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, say promises, was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, that's the promise, through Isaac shall your descendants be named. So he was trusting that promise. He considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead. Hence, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. In other words, how do you face death? Like Abraham, you trust God's word. He will keep his promise to me, even if I don't know how he's going to do it. He has resurrection power if need be. He will provide the way, even through death. And hence he's called the father of all the faithful. Now, did God provide a way for this? Did he escape? Well, yeah, in this case, don't put your hand on the lad. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. And then God provided a ram, a substitute, caught in a thicket behind him. And he offered him instead of his son. And that was God's will for him, a substitute. So Abraham exults with a great joy and cry and called it the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So will God provide for you? You know, I'm facing, you know, my dad's getting closer to departure. My mom's getting closer to departure. My goodness, I'm getting closer to departure. Who knows how long I have? Who knows how long you have? You will face the monster one day. You will face death. Will God provide a way for you? Can you trust him? Absolutely. How? The promise. What promise? A greater one than Abraham had. Jesus Christ. That is Abraham's promised seed ultimately. And he has come to die for you, to provide a way for you through death. So end of all fear, end of all worry. Confidence, because Jehovah Jireh is on your side. Yes, that's great. How do we know that this is really the way to read this word? Well, let me tell you something. This story, and you probably know this, about Abraham and Isaac, this strange Old Testament story was really not about Abraham and Isaac after all. Yes, it was, but far more so, it was about God the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. About another fatherly son outing up a mountain for a great sacrifice. For think of the parallels between Abraham and Isaac and God the Father and Jesus. This is why God set up this little drama, this little model, centuries before of what he would do for you and me to provide a way. Consider this. Abraham, here am I. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall show you. Your son, your only son, whom you love. What did God do? The Father, he says, Jesus says, it says, you are my son. Today I've begotten you, Psalm 2. Thou art my beloved son, the one whom with whom I'm well pleased, my only son, says the Father. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whom he loves, just like Abraham, into death on a cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God will provide a way. How about this one? See the pain and but willingness of the father to sacrifice his son. Remember, Abraham went with all speed and intention and purpose to do it as the father, as much as it was a pain to him. He went quickly with purposeful intention. Does God do the same for us with Christ up the mountain? I am the Lord, Isaiah 42, God says. I have called you in righteousness, speaking to his son. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Isaiah 53, God says of him, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. It was God's purposeful will to take Jesus up that mountain to the cross for our salvation. This father-son adding, to provide for you a way through death. See the also the innocence of Isaac and the innocence of Jesus. Behold, Father, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? So innocent was Isaac. What does Jesus say? Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Notice, Isaac was willing in this sacrifice. Abraham's what, over 100 years old? And well over 100. Isaac is what, 20, 30, something like that, who knows? But he's strong. He could have resisted his dad if he wanted to. No sign of that in Scripture. He was bound up. He was a willing sacrifice. And Jesus also says, not my will, but thine be done, Father. Notice also, Isaac at the foot of the mountain bore the wood of his own death for the sacrifice. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, up the mountain carrying his own wood just like Isaac. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, so it's laid down, and he bound his son Isaac upon the altar. What do we read of Jesus? They took him to the place called the place of a skull, and there they crucified him, bound him upon the wood. But here, you know what? The story diverges, because Isaac lived and Jesus died. God provided a substitute for Isaac, a ram caught in a thicket, to be slain in his stead in the place of Isaac, that he might live. But Jesus here, he went all the way through it. He really died on that cross for us. But he did it to be a substitute for you and for me, that we might not die but live. God will provide for himself a lamb. Abraham told Isaac, and God has provided for us himself a ram, a lamb caught in a thicket, Jesus Christ, to die as a substitute that you, like Isaac, might live. So are you going to be afraid of death, guys? No. As it is, he has appeared once for all, Jesus has, at the end of the age, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. No more fears. We have a substitute who's died for us. And again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Isaac was, in a sense, resurrected, wasn't he? Because we hear there in Hebrews 11, in a sense, figuratively, Abraham received him back, resurrected, even though he didn't die. But Abraham received his son back alive. What do we hear about the father and the son? They went up a mountain. Jesus dies. He's sacrificed. He really dies. But God also, as Father, comes back with his Son alive because Jesus was raised on the third day. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, raised in accordance with the Scriptures. This being one of those Scriptures, Genesis 22, God received him back alive to provide for you a way. Jehovah Jireh provides for you the way through death to life everlasting and a resurrection. Amen. And this is the really, 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 really cool part. You ready for really cool? Listen to this. God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. 2,000 years before Christ, God had a very specific place to do these things. Moriah, where on earth is this place? Well, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Where is Mount Moriah? The mountains and hills about Jerusalem. Where was Abraham bringing up his son? Could have been on the Temple Mount, but I think it was that mountain right next to Jerusalem, the very same mountain Abraham ascends with his son to offer his son, his only son, whom he loves, and then to die and have a substitute and be raised. That very mountain, 2,000 years before, the very mountain, 2,000 years later, another father ascends with his son and offers him there on the mount as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Raises him up to provide for you, provide for me, provide for my dad and mom, Beth and Naomi and Faith and all of us, a way through death. This is our God. You don't have to be afraid of it. God has provided for us a way through death. For Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Friends, I declare to you right now, by the word of the Lord, on the mount of the Lord, it has been provided. Amen. Jesus Christ for our salvation, to provide for us even in death. And why did God do all this? Well, he said to Abraham, now I know that you fear God and that you love God, that is, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. We can say back to God, now we know, God. Now we know that you love us because you've not withheld your son, your only son, from us, but gave him up for us all. He is a great God, Jehovah Jireh. Psalm 68 says, our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death. So do not be afraid anymore. You can trust him in life for everything. You can trust him in death. For what shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Trust in him for all the things of life. Trust him perfectly also in death, for he is the provider, your provider, Jehovah Jireh. Amen.